A reading from Mark 9:30-32. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest.
A few days ago, we talked about Jesus prophesizing what was going to happen to him using the Isaiah model rather than the Daniel model. The Son of Man is going to be delivered in the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. And of course they couldn't understand this, because they were thinking of a different kind of Messiah. They were following Jesus, and they believed in him, but perhaps their interpretation of Scripture was obstructing their view of who he in fact was and why he was here and where he was going and why he was going there.
Right. This really shows an important point of how we read Scripture through the lens of our culture and what society is declaring around us all the time, because the picture of the suffering servant is in Isaiah. It wasn't that it was missing, it's just that they had reduced it completely because they like the other picture better, the picture of the Messiah coming in and giving them freedom the way they wanted it and victory over the Romans and all of those things. And it's really a reminder to us that we can so easily read the Scripture through the lens of what our cultural values are and distort the message only a little bit initially, but ends up making it a completely different message by the end.
And that goes on. Exactly what is the Daniel version here?
Well, Daniel portrays the Son of Man language very much to what we see in Revelation. Mm-hmm. You know, this white flashes and power and everything else, which we see in Jesus in the second coming.
In the second coming. That's what I think there are two.
Right, there's two advents of Jesus. There's the first advent of him coming as the suffering servant, as the one who's victorious and powerful, but in a different way, through his submission, through the cross, through the resurrection. And that's the picture that we get in Isaiah of the suffering servant of the Messiah coming. We also see pictures in Isaiah of a strong Messiah. So when Isaiah is looking, he's sometimes describing both the first and second advent right in the same passage. And so, you know, it's understandable how they could miss it, but the fact that they subverted so deeply the suffering servant image, because it's pretty powerful in the Isaiah text, and miss it completely, it shows how we can read Scripture through our own eyes and our own lens.
And then at the end, it almost like it seems like a non sequitur, but what are you arguing about on the road? Jesus asked them, and they kept quiet because they were arguing about who was the greatest, which seems almost not to follow. They weren't listening. They were focusing, again, on themselves a little bit, even though they are following Jesus.
Well, it's consistent. If you tap only into the powerful Messiah, and you know that he's going to bring this kingdom in, you want to position yourself to be powerful in that kingdom. And if you're in that frame of line, a Messiah who's calling you to come and be the servant of all, it's going to be foreign to you. And so it's all wrapped up into everything that's happening in their response to Jesus as he's bringing the kingdom of God to them.
So just to conclude when they are arguing about who is the greatest, this is really an indirect commentary on the lens that they are using to understand who this Messiah is.
Absolutely. Their worldview and their cosmology is stronger than their view of the Scriptures.